From the land of Grand University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of May, 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. And then we'll turn our attention to the crop budgets that the university agricultural economist, the members of the FarmDoc team, prepare each year. Their revisions for the 2026 crop came out this week, or posted to the FarmDoc Daily website right now, and up at willag.org as well. We'll talk with Nick Paulson, agricultural economist, and then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast from Mike Tenura. He's T-Storm Weather in Naperville, Illinois, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today at $4.62 and a quarter, 3.5 lower. The December new crop settled 4.25 lower at $4.85. July beans, $11.94 and a quarter a bushel, down 5.5 cents. New crop November, $11.86 and three quarters, down 6.75. Soft red winter wheat, 13 lower at $6.47.5 on the July, and the hard red July, down 11.75. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hi, Matt. Thanks much for being with us. Did you manage to get corn planted and done and all up and, I don't know, about replants, but are you done in the field at the moment?
Yeah, we were able to get done. So, last Thursday, I guess, we talked and I was actually trying to hopefully get done. And we were able to late that night, between Wednesday and Thursday, we put a lot of hours in because we knew we had a shot. So, we went in there and, I got in about midnight there Thursday and we did get rain, but at the same time, we're in a pretty good spot to where there was some rain, but soil temps were warm enough. I think we shouldn't have any problem getting the crop up and going. So let's just hope that's the case.
And there are quite a few folks that are still clearly running and trying to get a crop in the ground. Hopefully they'll get that done in the next week or so. Will that show up eventually in the marketplace? Has it paid much attention to it yet?
Not really. It's probably, people aren't going to want to hear this, but it's probably a little early based upon the progress we've made overall. The thing is that those that have been wet, of course, just continue to stay wet, and it's been super frustrating, and I don't envy them one bit. Yet you look overall for the country, we're actually running ahead of the five-year pace, so, there's not a lot of frustration, I guess, that's coming from the marketplace there. The other thing is there's going to be a fair amount of replant in parts of the country too, and that doesn't always necessarily show up. So I don't think it was an ideal spring by any means, but at the same time, it was good enough. I think that's been the last thing probably driving the market.
Okay, so what are you thinking about in this coming week as it's related to the corn and soybean markets? Let's start with old crop. Anything in particular?
Yeah, whenever you look, for instance, at July corn, what we've done here, with these last two dips, and I'm talking like last Friday, and then the way the market traded today, we're still holding an uptrend that we started at the first of the year, and so of course last Thursday and Friday the trade was sorely disappointed with no big news coming out of President Trump and Xi's meeting, but then you came in here when the market's closed and you find out that the fact sheet shows that we got 17 billion bushel or dollars worth of agricultural goods that are going to be sold that would not include soybeans, so we knew the soybean deal was already done and they're going to buy more agricultural goods. And so of course the market started out like a house of fire. Now I would point out, Todd, that a lot of folks actually got rain this last go round, that needed rain. And to be honest, I know some of us got it that didn't want it. But I do think that the market would have had an easier tone to start this week if we wouldn't have had the U.S.-Chinese trade news. So I guess for the coming week, there's going to be a lot of things being looked at. Exports today were just fantastic for corn, over 2 million metric tons. And then, if you continue to see, a penchant for that kind of demand, you know, at the same time, maybe taking a couple more weeks to get this crop wrapped up, I would think this market would hold together and continue holding these levels that we need to hold, that it has held so far. I do kind of feel like there's a decent shot of China coming in and buying U.S. corn. And the reason for that, you know, is that U.S. corn does work into China right now. Their interior prices are quite high, and we could actually ship them corn. So if there's a little bit of a push there, you know, and they actually do buy corn, I've got to think that's going to be a supportive type of mode. Now, basis has been, you know, on these dips is strengthened a little bit in some places. You know, I just think a producer has to understand when you're looking at cash, you're going to run out of time here, you know, whenever you get out towards pollination. I know that seems like a long ways away, but I'd be cautious as to hold too many eggs in that basket.
Corn into China, one thing. Soybeans into China, a different kind of thing at this point. The 25 million metric tons, do you suppose they'll buy anytime soon for new crop delivery?
Well, I mean, typically they've started that buying program. You know, last year, of course, they hadn't done anything. They just kind of had their hands in the pockets for a long time. I would assume there's going to be some, gesture from the U.S. to say, hey, you know, it wouldn't hurt you to go ahead and start this program if you're going to buy 25, you know, which they supposedly have guaranteed they would. But when might they buy it? I think that's tough to say. But right now is typically not a time when they're buying. I mean, there's no doubt that South America still, Brazil has a lot of beans that they can sell. They're cheaper on the world market. I don't really expect them to do anything on old crop. It'd, of course, be new crop. And we'd like to see that happen to where they start that program here before too long, you know, and get some of those beans shipped out in that normal window, because that certainly makes it a little easier on the pipeline, because typically, you know, we ship a lot of our beans from harvest until about end of February, you know, and then corn kind of takes over, whereas last year was totally different than normal, you know, just due to the fact that they weren't buying soybeans. So I would think that sometime this summer they'll step in that new crop program. I just don't see them buying any more old crop beans.
Any worries about the Memorial Day weekend and one last day of trade next week?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that whenever you have a three-day window like that where we're closed, a lot of times you can see on a shortened trade week a fair amount of volatility. I think a lot of it is going to depend upon, you know, what news do we get over the weekend? Are we going to get some sort of a war news situation? Are we going to get U.S.-China additional detail? I mean, I think we know everything we need to know about that meeting, but, you know, are they going to come back and dispute it? As of right now, it sure looks like they haven't done so. But if we don't get any major news out of this, again, I think we're going to be looking at weather and we're going to be looking at demand.
Hey, thanks much. We'll talk with you next week.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Matt Bennett is with agmarket.net. Nick Paulson, agricultural economist with the Farm Doc team on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, now joins us to discuss an article that he, Gary Schnitke, Carl Zuloff, and Brad Zwilling have penned for the Farm Doc website. They've updated the crop budgets for 2026. Find it at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Things have changed, Nick, since the last time you put these budgets out, and it wasn't that long ago. Prices in particular have gone higher. What difference does that make?
You know, I think the big mover relative to those January numbers we put out is are the higher corn and soybean prices that we're looking at now in terms of pricing prospects for that 2026 crop. We've got, you know, 25 to 35 cent higher corn prices for 2026, and you know, more like a dollar increase on that soybean price. And
so those numbers increase, but along with them came the closure of the Strait of Hormuz and higher input prices as well. How much of an impact did that have?
Yeah, so we did make some adjustments based on that, and this is in no way meant to downplay the impact on costs that's going to have for fuel, fertilizer, and even extending to other inputs if the effects of the conflict are ongoing here over the next few months. But in terms of its impact on 2026 numbers, on the fertilizer side of things, you know, situations on individual farms can vary, but in terms of averages, We're not expecting that to have a big impact on fertilizer costs for that 2026 crop. That's more of a big concern going into 2027 if prices remain at the elevated levels we're currently seeing. Diesel fuel is a bit of a different situation. There will be a bigger impact on we would expect a bigger impact even on 2026 fuel costs. That's not a huge component of the overall per acre cost to produce corn or soybeans, but you know we're looking at 50% higher diesel fuel costs than we had 3 months ago. Especially as we get into harvest season, if we still see prices at that level, that is going to increase fuel costs, and that was definitely something we incorporated. But again, for 2026, those price increases tend to outweigh those cost increases there. 2027 will be a different story unless conditions change.
So in 2026, on balance, things are better. How do you see it across the state?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we tend to look at things on the enterprise level, crop level. And again, things did improve relative to January. That's maybe the optimistic or positive way of looking at things. We're still looking at, you know, crop specific returns that are low by long-term historical standards. I think in most of our regional budgets, we look at Northern Illinois, a couple different cases for Central Illinois, and then Southern Illinois. We are still looking at projected losses for the corn side, just a little bit smaller projected losses than what we were looking at in January. Soybeans in January, we had kind of returns closer to break even, a little bit above in some regions, a little bit below in others. Those also improved to just above break-even levels across the state. And then when you look at that kind of on a 50-50 corn soybean rotation basis, we are looking at a slightly positive return now for 2026. But again, well below longer term averages in terms of a dollar per acre basis. And kind of the other, point that we tried to make in the article there is, that's still also factoring in a smaller, because of the price increase, ARC and PLC payment, but still an ARC and PLC payment that if you took that away, we'd be looking at negative returns in the absence of those government payments. And all of this still remains a lot of uncertainty for the 2026 crop year, especially with ARC and PLC, because that's calculated over the marketing year and those payments wouldn't even show up until, a year and a half from now. In October 2027, if those payments are triggered.
Is there a possibility at all that a crop insurance would be triggered even under a normal yield?
If you're looking at a situation where your yields are kind of at trend or, right around your APH, it would take some price losses to trigger those. And so, you could make the argument that it'll be some crop insurance payments, those would be offsetting losses on the revenue side. And so, that would mean that we had an outcome play out where prices were, lower than what we're looking at right now. And for 2026, current prices are quite a bit higher than what we had in the price discovery period that defined the price projections. And so it would take some pretty substantial price declines from where we're currently at. If we're looking at a situation with trend yields. So in those kind of situations, we'd be trading off revenue dollars for crop insurance payments. And so it wouldn't necessarily improve the overall return situation.
So the bottom line, as you write in the article, that is that the increases you're seeing in fuel and fertilizer prices at the moment, since the start of the Iran war, only partially impact average cost and returns for 2026. But I'm wondering what that 2027 budget looks like. It won't officially be released for the first time until August by the FarmDoc team.
Yeah, and given the Iran conflict, we've talked about maybe doing kind of a pre-release, maybe like a mini budget release ahead of that, just to put some numbers around what we'd be looking at current corn and soybean price levels, and if fertilizers and fuel are kind of in the range we've seen in the last few weeks. What those 27 numbers would look like, we won't, again, do an official release until August. But, you know, given where price levels are at, we'd be looking at another year of negative return projections. The other challenge that would start to come into play for 27 is, you know, just the way particularly the ARC program is designed to work. We'd be looking at sort of lower support levels being built in from those programs. And so it'd be kind of a double whammy of higher costs. Yes, higher corn and soybean prices, but lower support from those programs, just because of the way they're designed and how it's the five-year averages that define the revenue guarantee and things like that.
The ARC, or the ARC program, as you said, works on a five-year rolling average, and it throws out the highest income year and the lowest income year using the middle three for that average, and it's just getting lower over time.
Yep.
All right. Thanks much, Nick. I appreciate it. Nick Paulson is an agricultural economist with the Farm Doc team. You may read the updated crop budgets for 2026 online right now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Let's turn our attention now to the global growing regions and the climate in each of them and the impact it's having on the crop. We're now joined by Mike Tenure. He is T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online out of Naperville, Illinois, where he serves as the president and CEO and primary analyst. Hi, thanks for being with us. Let's begin in the Corn Belt. We've had some cool temperatures again. It's been kind of a lengthy on-off wet spring. What can you tell me about things coming up for the next week or so?
Well, the cool weather is going to last for a few more days, so that's not going to change dramatically. But once we get into early next week, it will turn a lot warmer. We'll see southerly winds across much of the central U.S., and that will leave high temperatures in the 70s and 80s for quite a while. This will basically start right around Memorial Day, and then it should last into June. So the cool weather is not going to be much of a topic beyond the next few days. The rainfall story is a little bit different. This is a very complex setup because we essentially have three different features in the central U.S. Number one, we have the remnant of a cold front that moved through earlier in the week that's draped across the southern U.S. We also have an upper-level system that's approaching the Dakotas as we speak. And we also have little small waves of energy kind of smattered all around the central U.S. All of these features are going to interact in unclear manners over the next several days, and that will lead to pockets of showers and thunderstorms all the way through Sunday or Monday. Our concern with this is that some of the southern growing regions are probably going to get some pretty decent totals through then. And then also that setup is going to persist for a few more days next week. So we think that in the end, we're going to see around 2 to 4 inches of rain from eastern areas of Oklahoma and Texas, and then stretching through the mid-south and into far southern areas of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Missouri. And so that area is going to end up being a little bit wet by the time we get into next week. To the north, though, there will be a little bit wetter as well. But it's hard to say if there's going to be a major event out of this. It just looks more like pockets of showers here and there. Some areas might see an inch of rain. Other areas might completely miss out. So just kind of a scattered mix of rains elsewhere.
Is it enough to slow down corn planting?
Well, it certainly is. You don't need a whole lot of rain after some of the totals that we saw earlier in the week across the Corn Belt to keep planting a little slow. Our concern here is that we're now planting a little bit late. You know, typically the traditional date that we would consider being late for corn planting is May 20th. That was yesterday. As we move forward, all this corn that's planted now is being planted later than ideal. And that's probably including, you know, at least 20% of the U.S. crop. Now, is that a crazy number? No. I mean, we've seen years that have planted that late before. And but we'd like to see that number being lower, but now it's too late. So it's going to be a little bit challenging going forward to keep the high end of yield potential if we don't have some pretty nice weather in the future. Whether or not that takes place, well, have to be determined. But, you know, you really want to get that corn in earlier than now to have an ideal setup.
That takes care of the Corn Belt, but I do want to come back to the plains, maybe the northern plains in particular. The spring wheat growing regions in the United States and the Canadian prairies, how are they doing?
Well, the U.S. crop is quite dry. Dryness over the last 30, 60, and even the last 90 days are all pretty high. And they've been basically among the highest that we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years. And so that is setting off some alarm bells. If we don't see some really nice rains over the next 6 weeks, we're going to have a problem there because they're basically having, the crop is basically turning sensitive now and it's going to stay sensitive through the end of June. And we're going to lead into this period with some dry conditions. Now, there is some rain out there over the next few days and we need those to verify. We're thinking a half of an inch to maybe even an inch is possible over this period, but even that won't be enough to alleviate the dryness story. So that's kind of a concern that we have. As we move into Canada, the rain chances are a little bit better, so we're not quite as concerned there yet. And also, that crop is planted a little bit later, so a little more time before we have to think a whole lot about Canada.
Turn your attention to South America. What are your expectations for the safrinha or second crop corn there?
Well, the dry season has started for about 70% of the crop. Until then, we had some pretty nice rains here and there, so our overall concern for that crop is pretty low. But there's not going to be another big rain over the next few weeks. And that's kind of a typical time or typical thing to happen because at the end of May and certainly in June, it's not normal to have much rain. And that's what's happening now.
And then in Europe and the Black Sea area, can you check in on the wheat crop across that region?
Well, the Black Sea region has been seeing some good rains over the course of the fall, winter, and even here in the spring. And so we don't have many concerns over dryness for wheat in Russia or Ukraine. There are some reports that it might be a little too wet in Russia, which we could certainly see that might be the case just based on the amount of rain that has fallen over the last 3 months. But typically at this time of the year, you want moist conditions. So we don't think it's really much of a topic. The only concern we might have for this area is actually a little bit further to the west across the heart of Europe. It's not raining very much in France, Germany, or Poland, which is kind of the wheat basket of Europe. And we're not looking for much rain over the next 5 to 10, maybe even 15 days. So that might be something to monitor, but there's still plenty of time for them to get more rain. So overall, Ty, we don't think that this is a major concern yet.
Hey, thank you much, Mike, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, that sounds great, Tom.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather at tstorm.net online. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We'll post our Commodity Week program to the website this evening by about 6 o'clock. Our panelists this week will include Colin Waters with the Illinois Corn Growers Association, along with Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing and Kurt Kimmel at agmarket.net. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what's happened in the marketplace. It'll air on our home station during this hour tomorrow in its entirety, up online by 6 tonight, and you can hear it on many of these radio stations over the weekend. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.